British Sky Broadcasting, in association with Fox Searchlight Pictures, presents Sideways, audio described by Tony Cook on behalf of the MCS Agency. It's pitch dark in Miles' bedroom on a Saturday morning.
Miles, can you move your car, please?
Why?
Because the roofer's got to get the truck in. You didn't park the roof, okay?
Yeah. All right. Hold on.
Miles closes his door again, shutting out the morning light. He throws a dressing gown over his shorts and T-shirt and trips down the steps from his suburban apartment in San Diego, California, apologizing to the workman outside. A truck is parked in the middle of the road with its hazard lights flashing. Miles, played by Paul Giamatti, unlocks the door to a red coupe. The film also stars Thomas Hayden Church as Jack. Miles moves the car to another free parking spot at the side of the tree-lined street. He pulls in behind a VW camper van next to a clutch of abandoned supermarket trolleys. Also starring in the film are Virginia Madsen and Sandra Oh. Miles dashes back into his cluttered home where the curtains are still drawn. He glances at the microwave oven clock, which says 10:54.
Oh, fuck me! I know I said I would be there by noon, but there's all of this work going on at my building, and it's just a total nightmare. And I had a bunch of stuff I had to deal with this morning, but I'm on my way. I'm out the door right now!
He piles clothes from the wardrobe onto his unmade bed as he talks on the phone. Now he reads a book while sitting on the lavatory. Next, he showers behind a plastic shower curtain and then, looking into the bathroom mirror, flosses his teeth before calling in at the local deli.
Hi, Simon.
Hey, Miles. Triple espresso.
Right here?
No, actually, I'm running late. Make it to go. And give me a New York Times and a spinach croissant.
The music is composed by Rolf Kent. Miles drives his red coupe convertible down a hill out of the leafy suburbs of San Diego on an almost empty road towards the slipway joining the freeway. As he speeds along the freeway, a newspaper is propped up on the steering wheel. He fills in a crossword puzzle. Under a clear blue sky with just a trace of fluffy cloud, he continues his journey in moderately light traffic, cutting through flat countryside. The terrain becomes hillier. He drives over a bridge spanning another freeway, passing a large white water tower and into Los Angeles, California. Now a lane flanked by tall trees and neat grass verges, he pulls into the driveway of a substantial and elegant house where four other cars are already parked. A stylish middle-aged woman leads him over the floor of marble along a wide corridor where the walls are adorned with paintings. They enter the drawing room.
Look what the cat's back.
Hi, everybody.
Sorry. Somebody finally arrived. Finally got here. Mr. Prong.
Oh, remember my kid, yes. Alex?
Hi, how are you? We're thinking maybe you went the wrong way. You went to Tijuana,
right.
And they don't let you back.
Yes, 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 yes. I had to bribe them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Miles.
Hey, how are you, Steve? Yeah, the freeway was unbelievable. Mm. Unbelievable. It was bumper to bumper the whole way. People getting an early start on the weekend, I guess. Granted, I got a late start.
Well,
but,
we're just glad you made it.
Yes.
Christine, why don't you ask Miles about the cake?
Oh, good idea. Here, come with me.
What's this?
Honey, we don't really have time for that because we got to hit the road.
Come on, it's just going to take a second.
Yeah.
Miles eats two sorts of gâté with a fork.
Jack tells us you are publishing a book. Congratulations.
Yes, congratulations.
Yes, well, it's not exactly finalized yet. So there has been some interest.
Your friend is modest.
Oh, come on, Miles, don't be so modest. Indulge him. Don't make me out to be a liar.
What's the subject of your book? Nonfiction?
No, it's a novel, fiction. Oh. Yes. Although there is quite a bit from my own life, so I suppose that technically some of it is nonfiction.
Good. I like nonfiction. There's so much to know about this world. I think you read something somebody just invented it. Waste of time.
It's an interesting perspective.
So, which one do you like better?
Oh, well, I like them both. But if pressed, I would have to say that I prefer the dark.
Told you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Miles reverses out of the drive with his friend Jack in the passenger seat.
Bye.
Jack's fiancée, Christine, and her family wave them off. Christine blows a kiss.
Bye. Where the fuck were you, man? Huh? I was dying in there. We're supposed to be 100 miles away by now.
I can't help the traffic.
Oh, come on. You're fucking hungover. You know you are.
Okay. There was a tasting last night, yes. But I wanted to get us something nice for the ride up. Check out the box. Why did you tell them that my novel was being published?
Because you said you had it all lined up.
No, I didn't. No, no. What I said was that there was some interest at Conundrum.
Yeah, Conundrum.
Right, and that one of the editors was passing it up to a senior editor.
Sounds pretty good to me. Mm. Sounds like you're in.
No, it's a long shot, all right? And besides, Conundrum, it's just a small specialty press. Anyway, I'm not going to get my hopes up. You know, I've stopped caring. The hell with it. I have stopped caring.
It sounds like it's going to happen this time. I mean, I can feel it. I think this is the one, huh? I'm really proud of you, man.
No, don't open that now. No, 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 no.
Why not?
It's warm. Jack, that is a 1992 Byron.
Right.
It's really rare, okay? I've been saving it.
All right.
Please
I won't open it.
No! Oh, Jack! Half of it gone.
Hey, shut up, okay? Here's to a great week. Come on.
They drink as Miles drives.
Yes, absolutely. Despite your crass behavior, I'm actually glad we're getting this time together.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. It's like getting to think it was never going to happen.
Man, that's tasty.
That's 100% Pinot Noir, single vineyard. They don't even make it anymore.
Pinot Noir?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how come it's white?
Oh, Jesus. Don't ask questions like that up in wine country. They'll think you're some kind of dumb shit, okay?
Just tell me.
Color in red wines comes from the skins. This juice, on the other hand, is free rot. So if there's no skin content...
They drive along a coastal road.
Did you read the latest draft, by the way?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And?
It's great. I mean, it's so many improvements. Much tighter. It just seems, I don't know, more congealed or something.
Mm-hmm. What about the new ending? Did you like that?
Oh, yeah. New ending vastly superior to the old ending.
There is no new ending. Page 750 on is exactly the same.
Well, maybe it just seemed new because everything leading up to it was so different.
Yeah, that must be it.
Miles gives a mock smile before shaking his head.
Whoa, why are we getting off?
I just want to make one quick stop.
For what?
I just thought we could say a quick hello to my mother.
Your mother?
Look, it's her birthday tomorrow, okay? And I don't feel right driving by and not stopping in.
Okay.
Well, it'll take a second. She's right off the freeway.
Okay, I didn't know it was her birthday. How old is she going to be?
Oh, 70-something.
Now with the car roof down, they stop in Oxnard, California.
Oh, hey, here, hold this for just a second.
Jack leans into the car and plucks out a bottle as Miles hands him a bouquet of flowers to hold. They've parked on a trim estate of timber-clad houses. Miles writes on a birthday card as he stands and then licks the envelope. Jack hands the flowers to Miles as they walk to the door of one of the houses.
Surprise!
Surprise!
Happy birthday.
Oh, my God! Miles and Jack! What a surprise! I can't remember the last time you brought me flowers.
Happy birthday, Mom.
They're from both of us.
A famous actor bringing me flowers
on my birthday.
Don't I feel special?
And champagne.
Famous actor's getting married next week, Mom, right?
Oh, that's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, isn't that nice? I hope that girl knows how lucky she is, marrying no less than Derek Summersby.
Gosh, that was like 11 years ago, Mrs. Raymond.
Well, you were one wonderful in that show. Why that didn't make you the biggest movie star in the world is a sin. Oh, yeah, Miles, why didn't you tell me you were coming and bringing this handsome man? Look how I'm dressed. I've got to run and put my face on.
You look fabulous, Mrs. Raymond.
Oh, stop it. Make yourselves comfortable. You boys hungry?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Jack throws a reproachful glance.
Just a snack.
They stare at the TV. Later, they both wine and dine at a table on the patio.
This is delicious, Mrs. Raymond. Absolutely delicious.
They're just leftovers.
Is this chicken?
I could have made something fancier if a certain someone had let me know that a certain someone was coming for a visit and bringing a certain special friend.
It was a surprise, Mom.
And I could have already put clean sheets on the other bed and the fold-out. You are staying. Wendy, Ron, and the twins are picking us up at 11:30 to go to brunch at the Sheraton. They do a magnificent job there.
You talked to Wendy?
Just now. She's thrilled. And the twins.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. Well, you know, Jack is pretty eager to get up to, but yeah, absolutely. You know, we'll see how it goes.
Well, you boys do what you want. I just thought it would be nice for us to be together as a family on my birthday.
Mm-hmm. I'll be right back.
Miles dabs his bearded face with a napkin, goes inside and trots up the stairs. He passes the open door of an airing cupboard, and looking furtive, he enters a bedroom where an electric iron rests on an ironing board. He glances onto the patio from the bedroom window and sees his sprightly mother in animated conversation with Jack at the table. He opens the top drawer in a chest of drawers, and then the next drawer down. He fingers through clothes in the drawer before finding a dummy container marked Ajax Bleach. He unscrews the false bottom and removes a wad of dollar bills tied with an elastic band. Glancing again through the window, he counts out the notes before sticking some in his pocket and replacing the rest in the container. He puts the container out of easy sight in the drawer again. He quietly closes the drawer. As he does so, he stares reflectively at an array of family photographs on top of the chest, including one of himself and his bride on their wedding day. They're both smiling as they look into each other's eyes, holding a glass of champagne. His eyes linger mournfully for a few moments before he lets out a sigh. He goes downstairs again.
And what was that other one you did? The one where you were the jogger?
Oh, that was for, Spray and Wash.
Spray and Wash, that's the one.
Gosh, I remember the girl that was in it with me. She was something.
I just remember you jogging.
Hey. Woo-hoo.
So, when's the wedding?
Next Saturday, Mom, remember? We told you.
And Miles is my best man, Mrs. Raymond, my main man.
Miles, when are you going to get married again?
I just got divorced, Phyllis.
2 years ago, buddy.
You should get back together with Victoria. She was good for you. She was good for you. And so beautiful and so intelligent. You know her, right?
Oh, yeah, real well. Still do.
I'm worried about you, Miles. You need some money.
Sunday. As daylight comes through the window of the bedroom where the ironing board stands, Jack is sprawled on top of the bed, fully clothed. Miles shakes him awake and they both go downstairs. Miles' mother is flat out on the sofa, a glass of wine next to her.
Jack,
Miles ushers a sleepy-looking Jack out of the front door. The TV is on. Resting on top of it, still in the cellophane wrapper, are the flowers Miles brought. A shapely waitress in a pink dress with a white pinny brings two plates of food to the table in a roadside diner where Miles and Jack sit. As she puts the plates down, Jack is eyeing her up.
Fuck. Too early in the morning for that, you know what I mean?
She's a kid, for God's sake. As if she would even be attracted to guys like us in the first place.
Speak for yourself, man. I get chicks looking at me all the time, all ages. Dudes, too.
Well, it's not worth it. You pay too big a price. It's never free.
You need to get laid, Miles. You know what? That's gonna be my best man gift to you this week. I'm gonna get you laid.
Wonderful.
I'm not gonna get you a gift certificate or a pen knife or any of that other horse shit.
I'd rather have a knife.
No. You have been officially depressed for like 2 years now. And you were a negative guy anyway, even back in college.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's worse. You're wasting away. Teaching English to fucking eighth graders when they ought to be reading what you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Your books, Miles.
I'm working on it.
Working hard enough. Are you still seeing that shrink?
I saw him on Monday. I spent most of the time helping him with his computer.
Well, I say, fuck therapy. And what is that stuff you take? Xanax?
And Lexapro, yes.
Well, I say fuck that, too. You need to get your joint worked on,
okay.
Miles.
Jack. This week is not about me. It is about you. I'm gonna show you a good time. We're gonna drink a lot of good wine. We're gonna play some golf. We're gonna eat some great food and enjoy the scenery. And we're gonna send you off in style, Wolfer.
And get your bones smooched.
Santa Barbara County, California. With the roof down, the two of them drive on. They go through a tunnel which cuts through a mountainside. As the car emerges, they pass a field of vines. A sign points to the Santa Rosa Road.
You know what? Let's take the Santa Rosa Road exit and hit Sanford first, okay?
Sounds good to me. I need a drink.
These guys make top-notch Pinot and Chardonnay, one of the best producers in Santa Barbara County.
I thought you hated Chardonnay.
No. I like all varietals. I just don't generally like the way they manipulate Chardonnay in California. Too much oak and secondary malolactic fermentation.
Huh.
You see, the reason that this region is so good for Pinot is that the cold air off the Pacific flows in at night, and it just cools down the berries. Pinot's a very thin-skinned grape. It doesn't like constant heat or humidity. Very delicate.
They stop at a vineyard.
Let me show you how this is done. First thing, hold the glass up and examine the wine against the light. You're looking for color and clarity. Just get a sense of it, okay?
Okay.
Thick, thin, watery, syrupy. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Now, tip it. What you're doing here is checking for color density as it thins out towards the rim. That's going to tell you how old it is, among other things. It's usually more important with reds. Okay?
Okay.
Now, stick your nose in it. Don't be shy. Really get your nose right in there, really. A little citrus. Maybe some strawberry. Passion fruit. And, there's just like the faintest sousal of like asparagus, and there's just a flutter of like a nutty Edam cheese.
Wow.
Mmm.
Strawberries, yeah.
Good.
Strawberries.
Yeah.
Not the cheese.
Put your glass down. Get some air into it. Oxygenating it opens it up. It unlocks the aromas, the flavors. Very important. Smell again. That's what you do with every one of them.
Wow. When do we drink it?
Now.
Mmm.
Jack downs his glass in one go.
How would you rate this one, Miles?
Well, usually they start you on wines with learning disabilities, but this one is pretty damn good. This is the new one, right, Chris?
Just released about 2 months ago.
Nice job.
We like it.
You could work in a wine store, Miles.
That'd be a good move. Are you chewing gum?
Solvang, California. They drive along a street of pretty Germanic-style buildings. Next, they arrive at Bulton, California. They turn off the main road. A notice with a red arrow says, Lobby Registration. Ahead of them is an oldie-worldly building standing next to a large windmill. A sign says, Windmill Inn. Another, No Pets. In a room with twin beds, they dump their baggage. Jack stares briefly out of the window. As dusk begins to fall, they walk along the wide street, Jack with his striped shirt outside his trousers.
Do you think I'm making a mistake marrying Christine?
Whoa!
Do you think I'm doing the right thing, Miles?
Tell me the truth. I mean, you've been there.
Well, you know, I think that you waited for some good reason and that you proposed to Christine for some good reason. So I think it's great. It's time. I mean, you gotta have your eyes open, that's all. I mean, look at me. You know, I thought Victoria and I were set for life.
Christine's dad, he's really been talking to me about bringing me into his property business, showing me the ropes. Which is something, considering how long it took him to get over my not being Armenian. So I'm thinking about it. But I don't know. Might get a little incestuous. But Mike does great. A lot of high-end commercial stuff.
So you're gonna stop acting?
No way. No. This would just provide some stability. I could always squeeze in a commercial or an audition here, there. Keep myself in the game in case something really great came along, you know? But we're not getting any younger, Miles.
No.
They enter a bar and restaurant called The Hitching Post. Miles and the bartender shake hands.
Hey. Miles.
Sir.
Long time no see.
Very nice to see you.
Hey, when's your novel coming out? We all want to read it.
Oh, soon. Say, this is my buddy Jack. He's getting married next week.
My condolences, man.
What are you pouring?
We have got a lot of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have the new Bien Nacido. You want to taste?
Absolutely. They make their own wine here. It's just outstanding. Very special.
The barman pours a little of the pale red wine into each of their glasses and looks quizzically as Miles tastes it.
So, what do you think?
Tighter than a nun's asshole, but good concentration. Nice fruit. Pour us a couple, eh?
Yeah, it's tight.
Their glasses are replenished.
There you are, gentlemen. Thanks. I will leave you the bottle, and it is good to see you.
Hey, man. Here's my last week of freedom.
It's gonna be great. Here's to us.
They take another drink before taking a table. Miles studies the menu.
Miles.
Hmm?
Check out that chick.
Oh, yeah. That's Maya.
You know her?
Sure, I know Maya.
You know that chick?
Yes. Jack, this is where I eat when I come up here. You know, it's practically my office. And occasionally I have a drink with the employees, yeah. Maya's great. She's worked here like, you know, a year and a half.
She's incredibly hot.
Yes, she is, and nice, and married. Check out The Rock.
No, that doesn't mean shit. When Christine worked at Sushi Roku, she wore a big engagement ring to keep guys from hitting on her. Think it worked? Fuck no. I didn't think I met her.
Well, this gal is married to, like, some philosophy professor at UC Santa Barbara.
Oh, what's a professor's wife doing waitressing? Obviously, that's over.
Jack, you don't know anything about this woman. Calm down. It's just to eat.
With a warm smile, Maya approaches their table.
Hey, Miles.
Oh, hi.
Good
Maya.
To see you.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Oh, you look great. Did you lose some weight?
No, actually. But you? Busy night, huh?
Sunday. You guys been out tasting?
You know it. You know it. This is my friend Jack. Jack, Maya.
Hiya.
Hi. Well, it's good to see you. Bye, Miles.
Oh, back to work.
Jesus, she is jamming.
Yeah.
And she's obviously into you. What else do you know about her?
Well, she does know a lot about wine.
Now we're getting somewhere.
She likes Pinot.
Perfect.
She's a fucking waitress in Buellton, Jack. How is that ever gonna work out?
You dick. Why do you have to focus on the negative? Do you see how friendly she was to you?
She works for tips.
You're blind, dude. Blind.
I can also recommend the ostrich steak. Very lean, locally raised.
Later, when they sit at the bar, Maya comes off duty.
Hey, Gary. Highliner, please.
You got it.
That's on us.
Yes, well, hey, guys.
Hey.
Do you mind?
Oh, no.
You sure?
Please, light up.
She lights a cigarette.
In fact, would you like to join us?
Sure.
She picks up her drink and her cigarettes. Jack looks delighted.
So how's that book coming, Miles? I think you were almost finished with it the last time we talked.
I finished it.
Good for you. Wow.
It's getting published. That's actually why we're up here celebrating.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic.
All right.
Cheers.
Thanks. Thank you.
Are you a writer too?
No, Maya, I'm an actor.
Really? What kind of stuff?
A lot of TV. You know, I used to be a regular in a couple of series. But lately it's been a lot of commercial work. Nationals mostly.
Anything I might know?
Perhaps. Do you recognize this? Now with a low, low 5.8% APR financing.
That's hilarious. You sound just like one of those guys.
I am one of those guys.
You are not.
Yes.
Consult your doctor before using this product. Side effects may include oily discharge, hives, loss of appetite, low blood pressure. If you have diabetes or a history of kidney trouble, you're dead, asshole.
So what are you guys up to tonight?
Oh, we're pretty wiped. You know, I think we're just gonna go back to the motel and crash.
Jack stares ahead in disbelief.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of a long drive up here. Where are you staying?
The windmill.
Windmill.
The girl is looking to party, and you tell her we're going back to the motel and crash! Jesus, Miles!
Well, I'm tired, Jack. Aren't you tired?
The chick digs you, man. She lit up like a pinball machine when she found out your novel was getting published.
Yeah, now I have another lie to live down. Thanks, Jack.
Just trying to get you a little action. I would appreciate a little bit of help.
Didn't seem to me like that's what was going on. You were all over her.
Well, somebody had to do the talking. And by the way, I was right. She's not married.
How do you know?
No rock. When she came to the bar, she was sans rock.
They walk to their hotel. The next day, Monday, in the neighboring town of Solvang, they stop for a meal in a street where an array of Swiss flags fly and tourists stroll. They sit on benches facing each other in a diner studying the menu. Miles lets out a sigh.
What's the plan for today, Miles?
Good. We head up north, begin the grape tour up there, work our way south so that the more we drink, the closer we get to the motel.
Jack gives a thumbs up sign but doesn't enthuse.
What's your problem?
Jack folds up his menu and sets his eyes on Miles, who sits with his arms folded.
What is it?
I'm going to get my nut on this trip, Miles, and you are not going to fuck it up for me with all of your depression and anxiety and neghead downer shit.
Oh, well, now the cards are on the table.
Yes, they are. And I am serious. Do not fuck with me, Miles. I am going to get laid before I get married on Saturday. Do you read me?
Sure, big guy. Absolutely. Loud and clear, whatever you say. It's your party, evidently. Why don't you just, why don't you just go out and I got your train back.
No, Miles. Man, this is our week to get crazy. We should both be cutting loose. This could be our last chance. This is our week, man. It's something we should share.
The double yellow line in the middle of a country road stretches far into the distance as their open-top car eats up the miles. The screen splits, showing Miles, bearded and balding, at the wheel, a serious, almost worried expression on his face, and Jack, clean-shaven with a head of thick wavy hair, relieving his look of boredom by trailing his hand from the car, letting it float up and down in the slipstream as they glide past fields of green vines on both sides.
This is our Syrah.
Okay. Ooh. Yeah, like that?
That's a big one.
Now clusters of green and black grapes ready for picking. Next, young ostriches stare curiously. Another tasting.
But it did sit with the skins for about 2 weeks in an open-top tank.
Okay. So that would explain all the tannins, no?
Well, it is a young wine, so as the wine ages, the tannins will dissipate.
Of course.
Excuse me for just a minute.
Good stuff.
Jack frantically tops up their glasses.
Fill up there, Bob.
Fat bunches of grapes swell on the vine in the glistening sunlight before being plucked by skilled hands. A montage of pictures showing the harvesting of the green and black grapes and the eventual bottling and machine corking of the wines they produce. The red coupe pulls up for another tasting.
This is our estate Chardonnay.
Now, there's a girl that knows how to pour. What's your name?
It's
Stephanie.
Stephanie. Nice.
So what do you think?
Quaffable, but far from transcendent.
I like it. She's great. Okay.
Cabernet Franc. This is only the fifth year we've made this varietal. Very few wineries around here do a straight Cab Franc. It's from our vineyards up in Santa Maria. And it was a silver medal winner at Paso Robles last year.
Mm. Mm. Well, I will tell you something. I've come never to expect greatness from a Cab Franc, and this one is no different. It's kind of a hollow, flabby, overripe.
I don't know. Tastes pretty good to me. So, do you live around here, Stephanie?
Yeah, up around Los Alamos. And I agree with you about Cab Franc.
We're just over in Buellton, the Windmill Inn.
Oh, yeah?
Do you happen to know a gal named Maya that works at the Hitchy
Yeah,
bus?
Sure. Yeah, I know Maya.
Yeah, no shit.
Real well, yeah.
Oh, we had a drink with her last night. Miles knows her.
Yes. Can we move on to the Syrah, please?
Jumping at the bit, huh? Sure. This is our estate Syrah.
She generously refills their glasses.
You are a bad, bad girl, Stephanie.
I know I need to be spanked. Excuse me.
In jeans and a low-cut top, she sidles off to deal with two other customers further along the bar. Later, Miles waits outside, arms folded and looking pensive. Jack joins him, holding two boxes of wine.
Hey, hey, get the drink. You have the keys.
I do.
Yeah.
In my pocket. So, we're on.
What?
Yeah. She called Maya, who's not working tonight, so we're all going out.
Wait, with Maya?
Yeah. She's been divorced a year now, buddy. This chick Stephanie, she's got it all going on.
Well, she is cute, yeah.
Cute? She's a fucking hottie. And you almost tell her that I'm getting married? What's the matter with you?
With Jack now at the wheel, the car cruises along a winding road flanked by vineyards. In the distance, mountains stretch up to a clear blue sky. They park.
Nice, huh?
It's beautiful.
Yeah. Victoria and I used to like this view. You know, once we had a picnic here, and we drank a 95 Opus 1. We'd smoke salmon and artichokes, but we didn't care. Oh, man. She has the best palate of any woman I've ever known. She can even differentiate all different kinds of Italian wines.
Miles, there's something I gotta tell you. Victoria's coming to the wedding.
Yeah, I know. You told me. I'm all right with it.
Yeah, but that's not the whole story. She got remarried.
She what?
Panic sweeps his face.
When?
About a month ago. Maybe 6 weeks.
To that guy. The guy with the restaurant.
Jack looks down with uneasiness. Miles marches back to the car, his head tilted.
Miles? Miles?
I'd like to go home now.
Miles, get out of the car.
Would you drive me back to the motel, please?
You know what?
She bringing him to the wedding?
What do you think?
Why didn't you tell me about this before, Jack?
Because I knew you'd get so freaked out that you wouldn't even come on this trip. But then I thought this is the perfect place to tell you. We're here to forget about all that shit. We're here to party, man.
I'm gonna be a fucking pariah. Persona non grata. Everybody's just gonna be holding their breath, waiting to see if I get drunk and make a scene.
No, no, no. Look, I talked to Victoria, okay? She's cool. Everybody's cool.
I'm sorry, you've been talking... Behind my back, you've been talking about it!
He grabs a bottle and bites the top off.
What are you doing? Come back here. Miles! Come here. Give me that bottle.
Back off, Jack.
Come on.
Back off, man.
Give me that bottle.
Now.
Miles. Miles.
Jack chases him down a hillside and into a vineyard. Miles swigs wine as he runs. He finishes the bottle and tosses it away before stopping. They stand surrounded by the tall vines, getting their breath back. Miles wears a painful look of dejection and lets out a resigned sigh. Miles fixes his eyes on two wholesome bunches of black grapes which hang in front of him. He stretches his hand out and lovingly fondles them, but his eyes are clouded with despair. Jack takes the wheel of the open-top car, and as they drive past vast vineyards, Miles is lost in thought, the despair he feels always close to the surface. He places a hand on his troubled brow. At their hotel, they lie on top of their beds, a glass of red wine on their bedside tables. They stare idly at golf on the TV. A lot of people out there that think they can make it, and you know, what better thing in life is to chase the dream and not be afraid of going after it. James Lepp. Next to play, chance for a birdie, and a five-shot lead.
I'm gonna go for a swim. Get the blood flowing. You wanna come?
No, I wanna watch this.
It broke to the right. Okay.
You should start this ball 1 or 2 inches outside the left edge.
On the screen, a golfer narrowly misses the hole.
Great putt. Absolutely. Great speed.
Later, Jack sprays his feet with deodorant. Miles is asleep.
Miles. Oh, Miles. Time to get up. This fucking chick in the jacuzzi. Oh, dude. This place is wide open. I'm going fucking nuts up here, man.
Hey, what should I wear?
I don't know. Something casual but nice. They think you're a writer.
Jack watches keenly as Miles searches the wardrobe.
Do you have any other shoes?
Jack looks disapprovingly at the brown shoes Miles is holding. He picks up his mobile phone as Miles drops the shoes, looking disgruntled.
Hey, honey. Yeah, I was just calling to check in. Now, Miles and I are getting ready to go to dinner, probably stay out late, so I just thought I'd call and say goodnight now. Yeah. I miss you, too. I love you too.
Outside.
Just try to be your normal, humorous self, okay? The guy you were before the tailspin. Do you remember that guy? People love that guy. And don't forget, your novel is coming out in the fall.
Oh, really? How exciting. What's it called?
Come here, Miles. Come
here. As Miles is about to enter the restaurant, Jack beckons him away.
Do not sabotage me. If you want to be a fucking lightweight, then that's your call, but do not sabotage me.
Oh, aye, aye, Captain, you got it.
And if they want to drink Merlot, we're drinking Merlot.
No, if anybody orders Merlot, I'm leaving. I am not drinking any fucking Merlot!
Okay, okay, relax, Miles. Jesus, no Merlot. Did you bring your Xanax?
Miles dips into his trouser pocket.
All right. Do not drink too much. Do you hear me? I don't want you passing out or going to the dark side. No going to the dark side.
Okay.
Jack leads the way into the restaurant and smiles at the blonde receptionist.
Hi. Just looking for some friends.
Miles pensively follows Jack through the bustling restaurant where diners eat at tables with white cloth, lamps, and flowers. Jack spies Maya and Stephanie at a table set for four.
Good evening, ladies. How are you?
Hi, Miles. How are you?
Well, Maya.
Oh, you look gorgeous. You both do.
Thank you. Not so bad yourself.
Thanks. Thanks. So what's good here?
What is this that you're drinking?
Oh, again? This is the Fiddlehead Sauvignon Blanc.
Uh-huh. I see. Is it good?
So what time did you close up at
Calaira.
Calaira.
Calaira. Yeah, I got sugar out of there pretty good. I remember 5:36.
Mm. Miles sips from Maya's glass.
That's nice. That's really
it's
nice.
Aged 12 months in oak. French oak.
Sauvignon Blanc. Mm-hmm. Huh. Interesting.
I know the winemaker. She comes into the restaurant
all
the time.
What do you have to do to close up?
Just close up the register, you know, clean up and put some stuff away, and then put the glasses up for the next day.
Good.
Just small stuff.
Hints of clove.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I know. I love that.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's good. No, we'll get you a glass.
Ah, now we're thinking. Good.
Oh, he can say it and it's not disgusting.
I didn't
hear him say it. I love it, like, whenever I say something, he says.
Very good.
No, actually, no, that one. Not this one.
No.
I'm having that too.
Right?
First, we have corn chowder, and for our entrees, we have medallions of pork dusted with black truffles,
served with a root vegetable foulon and wasabi whipped potatoes. And finally,
yeah, you explain like,
yes.
Miles, what does this remind you of?
No.
The wine keeps flowing. Now the waitress pours Pinot Noir for Stephanie to taste. She nods her approval.
I mean with the yellow wine. Mm-hmm.
After all, tonight we are celebrating Miles' book deal. Published author.
Oh, wow. Wow, Miles. Oh, well,
Miles accepts their compliments with a resigned and embarrassed smile as more wine arrives. Miles samples it, encircling the liquid around his mouth in pleasure. As they eat, another bottle of wine arrives.
Now it's a modern way of treating wine. It's a traditional way of dealing with wine. It's a controversial way of dealing with wine.
So everyone's going back to that.
Jack tries to focus his eyes as he sips more wine. Miles fills his own glass unsteadily. Jack strokes Stephanie's hand as he leans close in conversation. Befuddlement flickers on Miles' face. Jack refuses a refill and throws Miles a warning stare as he downs another glass. There's a faraway look in Miles' eyes. He pictures himself making a call from the public phone in the restaurant. He gets to his feet and totters away from the table, his face clouded with indecision. He makes the call.
Well, 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 well. Victoria, how the hell are you?
What's on your mind?
Oh, nothing. I just heard that you got remarried. Congratulations. I didn't think you had the stomach for another go-round.
Oh, Miles, you're drunk.
Oh, just a little local Pinot. You know, a little Burgundy, that old cut de bill.
Where are you?
A little place in Los Olivos. New owners, cozy ambiance. Excellent photo. You should try it. I thought of you at the hitching post last night. Hello?
Miles, don't call me when you're drunk.
No, I wanted to let you know that I have decided not to come to the wedding. So just in case you were dreading some sort of, you know, run in or something like that. Well, you worry no more because I'm not gonna be there. It's my little wedding gift to you and, what's his name? What is his name?
Ken.
Ken, right. Ken.
I'm gonna hang up now, Miles. No,
you know, I heard about this for the first time, today. You're getting remarried, that is, and, I was kind of taken aback. Just hard to believe. I guess I thought maybe there was still a chance for us somewhere down the road, and I just,
Miles, maybe it is better if you don't come to the wedding.
All righty, Vicky, whatever you say, you're the boss.
He sways unsteadily back to the table and slumps down in his seat.
I don't know. Welcome back. Take it easy.
Are you okay, Miles?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you.
Stephanie catches Maya's eye across the table and mouths a message.
Excuse us, gentlemen. Excuse us.
Sure.
Hmm.
All right. Yeah. Don't take too long. Okay. Hi, girls.
What the fuck? What is up with you? You remember our little talk outside? Yeah. Get your shit together.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
Where were you?
Bathroom.
Did you drink and dial?
Hmm?
No.
Why do you always have to do this? Victoria is gone. Gone. Poof. In the wind. I mean, you are blowing a great opportunity here with Maya. Maya, she's great. She's cool. She's funny. She knows wine. I mean, what is this morose come down bullshit? These girls want to party with us. Huh? And what was that 10-minute lecture on, what was it, Vouvray's? Are you kidding me? Who gives a fuck?
Let's just say that I'm uncomfortable with the whole scenario.
Have you forgotten all the bad times you had with Victoria? How small she can make you feel? Isn't that why you had the affair with Brenda in the first place?
Shut your face. Yeah. Shut up.
Have you even noticed how Maya's looking at you? Oh, come on, man. You've got her on the hook. Reel her in. Let's ratchet this up a notch. Here, drink some agua fria.
Miles sips the water. The girls return.
Hey. Mm. Ah. Well, so, shall we get some dessert?
Well, we were thinking, why don't we go back to my place? I've got wine, some insane cheeses, music, whatever.
Yeah. Waiter!
Jack drives the coupe. Miles sits in the passenger seat. They pull up at a timber bungalow out of town. The lights are on. Two cars, a child's bike and a motorbike are parked in front. Jack produces condoms.
One for you,
three
for me.
You sure you want to do this?
Jack lets out a sigh and leads Miles through the porch and into the house.
We're here.
Hey.
Hey.
Where are you guys?
Oh, we took a couple of wrong turns thanks to Magellan here.
Oh, Miles,
Maya's
in the back. Let's pass the kitchen.
Okay. Thanks.
He strolls uncomfortably towards the kitchen, leaving Jack and Stephanie alone in the cozy living room. He finds Maya squatting down at the wine rack.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, has she got anything good?
Oh, yeah. Steph's way into Pinots and Syrahs. Hey, Steph!
Yeah?
Can we really open anything we want?
Yeah, anything. Here, I set the Richebourg.
Richebourg? She has a Richebourg? Holy mackerel, I've completely underestimated Stephanie.
Ah, good Lord. Look at that.
I think this guy's more our speed.
Andrew Murray. Well, okay.
He smiles as she places the bottle on the kitchen table.
So what gems do you have in your collection?
Oh, that's really not much of a collection, you know. I mean, it's more like a small gathering in a cabinet. No, I've never really had the wallet for that. I just have to live bottle to bottle. I've got things I'm saving, definitely. I guess the star would be a 1961 Cheval Blanc.
You've got a 61 Cheval Blanc and it's just sitting there?
Yes, I do.
Go get it. Okay. I'm serious. Hurry.
I would.
I mean, I think the 61s are peaking right now, aren't they? At least that's what I've read.
No, that's right, yeah.
It might be too late already. What are you waiting for?
Oh, I don't know. Special occasion with the right person. It was supposed to be for my 10th wedding anniversary, but...
You know, the day you open a 61 Cheval Blanc, that's the special occasion.
So, how long have you been into wine?
I got serious about 7 years ago.
And what was the bottle that did it?
88 Sassicaia.
Ah, well, congratulations.
Yeah.
That's very good, though. That would do it.
They both sniff the red wine in their glasses before tasting.
Oh, wow, that's nice. That's very good. We need to give it a minute, but that's really tasty. How about you?
I think they overdid it a little. Too much alcohol, it overwhelms the fruit.
Huh.
Miles looks puzzled and takes another sip.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say you were right on the money. Very good. Nice.
Thank you.
Hey.
He sees photographs.
Hmm. Is that Stephanie's kid?
Oh, yeah, that's Sienna. Oh. She's a sweetie.
Cute. Where is she?
She's at her grandmother's. Oh. Steph's mom. She spends a lot of time over there. You got kids?
Me? No. I just fuck them up. Yeah. No, that was the one
unpolluted part of my divorce. No kids.
Yeah, same here.
Good.
Let's go in there.
She leads him into the living room vacated by the other two. They sit on a sofa by a table where red and white candles burn.
Looks like our friends are really hitting it off.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
So what's your novel about?
What's my novel? Oh, brother. Well, it's difficult to summarize. It starts out as a kind of a first-person narrative about a guy taking care of his father after a stroke. And it's kind of based on personal experience, but only loosely.
What's the title?
The Day After Yesterday.
Oh. You mean today?
Yeah, I mean, right, but it's
so,
more...
So it's about, like, death and mortality, or...?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, not really. It jumps around a lot. That's what it's about, in a way. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and you start to see everything from the point of view of the father, and a lot of other things happen. Parallel narratives, kind of a mess. And then eventually the whole thing sort of evolves, or devolves, into this sort of Rob Grier mystery, you know? But no real resolution.
Wow. Well, yeah, I think it's really great you're getting it published. Really. I mean, I know how hard it is just to write it, even.
Yeah.
I mean, like me, I've got this paper due on Friday, and I'm freaked out about it, just like in high school.
A paper, huh?
Yeah, I'm going for a master's degree in horticulture. Sort of chipping away at it.
Horticulture? Mm. Really? I didn't even know that there was a college here.
Well, I commute to San Luis Obispo twice a week.
Horticulture? Mm. Wow. So do you want to work in a winery or something?
Maybe. So when can I read your book?
Well, I do happen to have a manuscript in my car. I mean, it's not proofed or anything, so it's full of typos, if you don't mind typos.
Oh, no, who cares? I mean, I'm the queen of typos.
Okay.
They sip their wine self-consciously. They exchange a coy glance. She gets up and he follows her. She opens the door onto the porch veranda. She places the bottle down and settles, holding her glass, onto an easy chair. Dangling her legs over the arm of the chair, she faces him as he sits on the chair next to her, a little stiffly.
No. Can I ask you a personal question, Miles?
Sure.
Why are you so into Pinot? I mean, it's like a thing with you.
I don't know. It's a hard grape to grow, as you know, right? It's thin-skinned, temperamental, ripens early. It's, you know, it's not a survivor like Cabernet, which can just grow anywhere and thrive even when it's neglected. No, Pinot needs constant care and attention. You know, and in fact, it can only grow in these really specific little tucked away corners of the world. And only the most patient and nurturing of growers can do it, really. Only somebody who really takes the time to understand Pinot's potential can then coax it into its fullest expression. And then, I mean... Oh, its flavors, they're just the most haunting and brilliant and thrilling and subtle and ancient on the planet. Now, I mean, you know, Cabernets can be powerful and exalting too, but they seem prosaic to me for some reason by comparison. I don't know. What about you?
What about me?
I don't know. Why are you into wine?
I think I originally got into wine through my ex-husband. Uh-huh. You know, he had this big sort of show-off cellar, you know?
Right.
But then I discovered that I had a really sharp palate. Mm-hmm. And the more I drank, the more I liked what it made me think about.
Like what?
Like what a fraud he was. No, I mean, I like to think about the life of wine.
Yeah.
How it's a living thing. I like to think about what was going on the year the grapes were growing. How the sun was shining, if it rained. I like to think about all the people who tended and picked the grapes. And if it's an old wine, how many of them must be dead by now? I like how wine continues to evolve. Like, if I opened a bottle of wine today, it would taste different than if I'd opened it on any other day. Because a bottle of wine is actually alive. And it's constantly evolving and gaining complexity. That is, until it peaks. Like you're 61. And then it begins its steady, inevitable decline.
They look intently into each other's eyes.
And it tastes so fucking good.
She places her hand on top of his, giving a gentle squeeze. She leaves her hand there and holds his gaze seductively. Confusion and embarrassment flickers in his eyes. He looks away and moves his hand. She quickly pulls hers back and rests her chin on it.
Yeah. You know, I like other wines besides Pinot, too. Mm. You know, I mean, lately I've been really into Rieslings. You like Rieslings? Rieslings? Mm. Is the bathroom in the back?
Yes, through the kitchen.
I'll be right back.
She sits holding her glass and stroking her cheek as she ponders. In the bathroom, Miles rinses his face with water. He looks at himself in the mirror above the wash basin.
Oh, God, you're such a fucking loser. You make me so fucking sick. Oh, come on.
He turns the light out and leaves the bathroom. Outside, he pauses and wearily dries his face with his jacket sleeves. Maya stands next to the kitchen sink with a drinking glass. He goes into the kitchen to join her.
Hey.
I was just getting some water.
Okay.
You want some water?
Yeah.
It's getting kind of late.
He lightly grips her head of shoulder-length blonde hair and kisses her on the mouth. He moves his hand to her shoulder and pecks her on the cheek.
I should really go.
She puts her glass down and lightly embraces him before leaving him standing at the sink. Now he drives along the tree-lined country lane from the bungalow behind Maya's car. When they reach the main road, Maya stops, leaving her headlights on, and walks over to Miles, who's pulled up behind her.
So you know how to get to the windmill? Like two rights and a left.
Got it.
I had a nice time tonight, Miles. I really did.
Good. So did I.
Okay, well, I'll see you around then.
Did you still want to read my novel?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Miles leans into the back of his coupe and produces a box, yeah, which he hands with a smile to Maya.
Great.
Just a second.
He leans over again and hands her a second box.
Oh, wow.
Well, I hope you like it. And feel free to stop reading at any time. I will not be offended.
Okay. Well, good night, Miles.
Good night.
Holding both boxes, she bends and gives Miles a kiss through the open car window. He watches, still angry with himself, as she carries the boxes to her car. They both pull off. She turns left and he turns right. The next morning, Tuesday, Miles is woken by Jack's mobile phone left in the hotel room they share. The bedside clock says 7:05. He puts his hand to his head.
Oh.
He staggers out of bed looking dazed and picks the phone up from a table. It says Christine, then new voicemail. As the morning light seeps through the badly drawn curtain, Miles collapses back into his bed. He covers his head with the sheets. He ignores the bedside telephone. When he wakes later, bleary-eyed, the red light on the phone is flashing. Jack returns and goes straight into the bathroom.
Fucking chicken's unbelievable, dude. Unbelievable! Woo!
What? Oh, she is nasty, Miles. Nasty, nasty, nasty!
Well, glad you got it out of your system.
Yeah, baby.
Congratulations. Mission accomplished.
Miles wanders onto the balcony and sees Stephanie astride her motorbike.
Oh, hi, Miles.
Hi.
Hey, you didn't invite Stephanie to come with us, did you?
Oh, listen, man, change of plans. Stephanie's off today, so, you know, think about going on a hike.
We were supposed to play golf.
You know what? You go, man. You go. In fact, use my clubs. They're brand new. They're a gift from Christine's dad. Here, I'll pay for it. Right there. And then later, the three of us, we can go to the hitching post. Could sit at one of Maya's tables. She'll bring you some great wine, you know, and then the four of us will do something.
No, count me out.
Huh, I see. Didn't go so great last night, huh? What a shocker. You mean getting drunk and calling Victoria didn't put you in the mood? Dumb fuck.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, well, maybe you should check your messages first.
Jack's on his way out. He stops and returns to the room to check his mobile phone. Miles sits on his bed with his arms folded.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, she's been leaving messages here, too.
Yeah, okay.
Did you call her?
I will. I'll see you.
Right now!
Okay, fuck. What are you, my mom?
With a mixture of frustration and impatience, Jack sits at the table and runs his fingers through his thick head of wavy hair.
Would you mind waiting outside?
Miles steps onto the balcony. Stephanie waits below on her motorbike.
That was fun last night.
Yeah. Good food.
Hey, I talked to Maya this morning. She said she had a fun time, too. You should call her.
Miles looks to the sky, lets out a sigh, and outstretches his hands along the top of the balcony wall.
Where's Jack?
I had to make a phone call.
Stephanie mouths the word oh as she sits in her crash helmet.
Miles. Miles. Hey, man, do you have that other condom?
In my jacket. What did Christine say?
Locked down. It's got voicemail. Everything's cool.
Here I am.
Hi.
Jack leaps onto the motorbike and grips Stephanie around the waist.
Ready?
Yeah.
Speed away, Miles stares after them from the balcony with a look of disgruntlement. He continues to stare pensively as they disappear, his eyes now clouded with self-questioning. The old windmill with its static sails looms high above the mock Tudor-style hotel and the blue water of its swimming pool. Miles is on the balcony cutting his toenails. Next, he walks into the empty reception lounge and helps himself to a filter coffee from a machine. Then, with his glasses on, he stands in the swimming pool in trunks, correcting schoolwork, as children play in a smaller pool behind him. Back in the bedroom, he listens for messages.
Please dial your password and press pound. You have no messages at this time.
In an empty Oriental restaurant, he eats alone. A clock on the wall says 25 past two. On the golf range, he practices shots on his own. He trudges up the balcony stairs to his room and lets himself in with his key card. He stares in shock as he sees a bare-bottomed Jack having sex on top of the bed with Stephanie.
Not now. Not now.
Yeah.
Later, as he sits drinking at the bar with a bottle of wine in front of him, Jack strolls in, passes the pool tables, and joins him.
Hey, there you are.
Yep.
What are you drinking? Is it any good? Can I get a glass, please? Thanks.
Stephanie took me out to the Pinot Fields today, Miles. God, it was so awesome. I think I'm really starting to get a handle on the whole process. You know, the soil to the vine and the, what do you call it, the selection to the harvest. And then that thing they do with the big containers where they mix it. It's really neat, the whole thing. And then we ate Pinot grapes right off the vine. They were a little sour, but showing excellent potential for structure down the line, I think. Stephanie, man, she really knows her shit.
Hmm. Where is Stephanie?
She's upstairs, cleaned up.
What the fuck are you doing?
What?
With this chick.
Why?
Does she know about Saturday?
Well, not exactly. But I've been honest with her. I haven't told her I'm available. And she knows this trip is only for a few days. Besides, I just...
Besides what?
Well, you know, just the wedding.
What?
I just been doing some thinking about it.
You know? Oh, you've been thinking. And?
Might have to put the wedding on hold, is all. Look, I know that that could be tricky for certain people to accept it first, all right?
Mm.
But life is short, Miles. I have to be sure I'm doing the right thing before taking such a big step. And you know what? That's not just for my sake. I'm looking out for Christine's feelings, too. I mean, being with Stephanie, she's completely opened my eyes. She's not uptight or controlling. She's just cool. I mean, she smells different. She tastes different. She fucks different.
Okay.
She fucks like an animal. I gotta tell you, man, I went deep last night. Deep.
Deep.
Thought that I'd get a little understanding from you, but I guess I'm not gonna get that.
Understanding about what, Jack?
Might be in love with another woman.
In love, really? 24 hours with some wine poor chick and you're fucking in love. Come on. And you're gonna give up everything.
Here's what I'm thinking. You and me, we move up here, we buy a vineyard. You design the wine, I'll handle the business side. You get inspired, maybe you write another novel, one that can sell. As for me, if an audition comes up, LA's right there, man. It's 2 hours away.
Christ, you're crazy.
Not even.
You're crazy. You've gone crazy.
All I know is that I'm an actor. All I have is my instinct. You're asking me to go against it.
Hi, guys.
Stephanie kisses Jack.
Hi. We should probably get going.
Yeah.
Where?
A driving simulator.
Huh? All right, here comes the tricky part. There you go. Nice. Nice. Okay, it's the bridge. Golden Gate Bridge. There you go.
Stephanie's mother talks to Miles.
You know, it's a thing, I mean, I've gotten over it, you know what I mean? You know, Stephanie's heard this 1,000 times, but if I'd bought up in Santa Maria when I had a chance, I would have made a fortune. When they put in that the Home Depot and those stores, and your father knew about it too. He's such a fucking chicken shit. Always was. Just a fucking chicken shit. Just too scared. Is this bothering you? You sure?
Fine. Yeah.
Stephanie eats while her mother smokes. Now they're outside.
Hey, man, I'm gonna just make sure that, you know, Sienna and Stephanie get home safe.
Okay.
All right. Maybe we'll hook up with you later.
Sure, whatever. Maybe I'll go catch a movie or something.
See you later, Miles.
Ah, thanks, Stephanie. See ya. Bye, Sienna.
Bye.
Carol, very nice meeting you.
Oh, I love talking with you.
Thanks.
If you go out later, call me myself.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay.
Stephanie's mother, Carol, drives from the bowling alley with her daughter and granddaughter and Jack. Miles stands in the car park watching them go, looking bored and miserable. He buys stationery and sweets at a store.
Yeah. Oh, actually, can I get a barely legal, please? Thank you. No, actually, sorry, the new one? Thank you.
The assistant puts a girly magazine on the counter. Miles draws the curtains in his hotel room. He settles on top of his bed with a glass of red wine to read his magazine, Barely Legal. He falls asleep and the magazine, with a sexy picture of a woman on the cover, slides from his chest. He wakes up, glances at his wristwatch and contemplates, with his eyes now wide open. He leaps from the bed and gets into the shower, vigorously washing his receding hair. Wearing an open-neck shirt without a jacket, he swaggers along the road towards the Hitching Post restaurant. Outside the restaurant, he loses the swagger and paces up and down nervously before going in. The restaurant appears quiet. Only two people are eating. Miles furtively peers around and then strolls casually towards the empty bar, where the barman cleans glasses next to a portrait of John Wayne in cowboy gear. Pictures flicker on a TV set above the bar.
Hey, Miles.
Yeah? Hey.
How's it hanging?
Oh, you know me. I love it up here. How about you?
Busy for a Tuesday night. We had a busload of old folks on a wine tour. Usually they're not too rowdy, but tonight something's going on. I don't know, a full moon or something. Anyway, what can I get you?
Highlighter.
Glass or bottle?
Bottle.
You got it.
Say, is Maya working?
Maya? No, I haven't seen her. I think she's off tonight.
As the barman opens a bottle of wine, Miles sits on a bar stool with a look of lonely resignation. At closing time, he staggers outside, where a full moon is in the sky.
You okay, Miles?
Yeah, I'm good.
The barman watches from the open door. Miles sets off, swaying unsteadily, along the side of the deserted road back to his hotel. Wednesday. Jack and Miles play a round of golf. A plastic tee is stuck in the neatly mown grass, and the ball is balanced on top of it. Jack takes careful aim with his club before swiping the ball over the rough and into the distance.
Crap.
Did you ever get a hold of Maya yesterday?
Nope.
Hmm?
No.
She really likes you, man. Stephanie will tell you.
Could you just give me a little room?
Here, yeah.
Jack, please, thank you.
You know, in life, you gotta strike while the iron's hot. Iron is hot.
Sage advice, Jack.
Now remember, sit back on your heels, huh? Turn through the abdomen. Abdomen.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Nice. What about your agent? Did you hear anything yet?
Nope.
What do you think's going on?
Could be anything.
You've been checking your messages?
Obsessively.
Huh.
Guess I'll just have to learn to kiss off another 3 years of my life.
But you haven't heard anything yet, so don't you think your negativity's a little premature? All right, you know, fuck the New York publishers. Publish it yourself, Miles. I'll chip in. Just get it out there. Get it reviewed. Get it in libraries. Let the public decide.
As Miles is poised to take a shot, he half turns to Jack and lets out a sigh.
Don't come over the top. Stay still.
Shut up.
It's all about stillness. Inner quiet.
Shut up, shut up, shut up! Jesus Christ, man, what the hell is wrong with you? Please, just shut up! Fuck!
What's with the hostility, man? I know you're a little frustrated with your life right now, but you can choose to be less hostile.
They both look outraged as a golf ball lands a few feet from them.
The fucker hit into us.
Hurry it up, will ya?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Hey, that's not cool, asshole!
Miles' face hardens as he lines a ball up and hits it at four golfers who wait in the distance. They duck as it strikes one of their motor buggies.
Nice shot.
Oops! Look out!
Two of the angry golfers ride towards them in the buggy.
Oh, check it out.
This is gonna be fun. This is gonna be fun.
Okay.
They sharply retreat when Jack charges at them, waving his club. Later, they walk to their car.
Just don't give up on Maya. Cool, smart chicks like that require persistence.
I don't want to talk about it, please.
All I know is that she's beautiful, a lot of soul. She's perfect for you. I'm just not going to feel good about this week until I know you guys have hooked up.
No.
I mean, don't you want to feel that cozy little box gripped down in your Johnson?
Hey, mind keeping it down, buddy?
When a woman finds out how I live, that I'm not a published author, that I'm a liar, essentially, any interest she has is going to evaporate real quick. If you don't have money at my age, you're not even in the game anymore. You're just a pasture animal waiting for the abattoir.
Abattoir? What is that?
Slaughterhouse.
Abattoir. Huh. But you know what? You are going to be a published author because you're going to get the good news this week about your book. I know you are. I can feel it. Ah, Stephanie. Hey, honey. Yeah.
Miles stops the car at a street-side cafe where Stephanie and Maya are waiting.
Hi.
They set off again with the girls in the back.
Hey, Miles. I heard you stopped by the restaurant to see me last night.
Oh, yeah. No. I stopped by for a drink. I didn't see you.
I had class.
Oh. Well, nice to see you now.
It's good to see you, too.
With a hood down, they cruise through rolling countryside. The sun shines in a clear blue sky, casting a golden glow on the trees and vineyards.
Oldest Syrah grapes in Santa Barbara County.
Did you know that?
The Pinot Noir grape has been cultivated, perhaps, since antiquity in Burgundy. And it is precisely this ancient and inherited winemaking knowledge that has contributed to its success.
They stop at a vineyard where an author with a beard and a sports jacket drones on to promote his new book, The Grape and I. Stephanie looks skywards with boredom and signals to the others. They walk away from the lecture, brushing past wine enthusiasts to explore the building. With a mischievous smile, Stephanie leads them through a door into a vast storeroom where barrels rest on multi-layered racks. She walks along the central aisle holding Jack's hand. Maya and Miles follow. Miles has his hands in his pocket. Stephanie and Jack find a cranny to kiss and hug. Miles is leaning against the barrels, talking intensely to Maya. With the sun high in the sky, they stroll through fields flanked by mountains for a picnic. As the sun sinks behind the mountains, leaving an orange glow in its wake, they head back to Stephanie's house for more food and drink. Sienna appears.
I was like 16, 17,
really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna die!
Oh my God!
What else is it?
Oh, hey! Is it too loud? Sorry. Oh, Uncle Jack will put you back to bed, okay?
Come here, little sister.
We'll be more quiet, okay?
Night.
Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. My favorite is supposed to be
Miles' car pulls away from Stephanie's house, its headlights penetrating the darkness of the country lane. At the main road, it turns left. Maya, with a half-smile on her face, is in the driving seat. Miles fixes his eyes on her affectionately as she stares at the road ahead. She leads him up the outside steps to her apartment, reaching into her handbag for her keys. As she puts her key in the lock, he hesitantly places a hand on her shoulder and gently strokes the side of her neck. She turns to face him, looking soft and sensuous. She cradles his head in her hands and kisses him passionately on the lips, pulling him slowly through the door without breaking contact. The town is still. Distant lights reflect through the leaves of the trees that surround the complex of houses and apartments. The lights disappear as dawn replaces the darkness. It's Thursday. The sun shines as Maya opens her door at the top of the steps. She looks serene as she stares out, wearing a blue and white checked dressing gown and clasping a mug that she sips from. She steps back into the room, where a circular table with a cream cloth is set for breakfast. She strolls barefooted from the kitchen into the bedroom, holding her mug. Miles is sprawled on the bed, partially covered. She watches him as he sleeps before wiggling the toes on a protruding foot. Later, gatherings of casually dressed people hover in the bustling marketplace. A choir of young girls in white blouses sing into a microphone. Maya, wearing dark glasses, strolls among the traders with Miles. She holds a bag of popcorn, and they both dip into it as they smile and converse with each other. The sun creates a golden sheen on her blonde hair. Miles places his arm on her shoulder as they stroll. Now they sit under a tree. She reads a newspaper. He does the crossword.
You guys should come by the restaurant for lunch today.
Great. What's the latest we can get there?
About 2:30.
He squints as he concentrates on the crossword.
Hey, did you hear about this Bordeaux tasting dinner down in Santa Barbara on Saturday night? It's kind of pricey, but if you wanted to go, I'd be into it. Why don't you just stay for the weekend?
No, we have to get back Friday for the rehearsal dinner.
What rehearsal dinner?
He stares wide-eyed.
Who's getting married? Were you ever gonna say anything?
Yes, of course I was. Just now I could have told you some story, but I didn't. I told you the truth. Maya!
Don't touch me! Just take me home. Do you have any idea what he's been saying to her?
Yeah, well, he's an actor, so it can't be good.
Only that he loves her. How she's the only woman that's ever rocked his world. How he adores Sienna. How he wants to move here and get a place with the two of them and commute when he has to.
I'm sure he believed every word of it. Please believe me. I was on the verge of telling you last night, but I...
But you wanted to fuck me first.
Oh, Maya. No.
Yeah.
He brings the car to a halt outside Maya's apartment. She opens the door but turns back to him before getting out.
You know, I've just spent the last 3 years of my life trying to extricate myself from a relationship that was full of deception. And I'm doing just fine.
And I haven't been with anybody since my divorce. So this has been a big deal for me, Maya. Hanging out with you and last night. I really like you, Maya. And I am not Jack. I'm his freshman year roommate from San Diego State.
She looks him in the eye before leaving the car. Jack sighs and leans on the steering wheel as he watches Maya trot up the wooden staircase to her apartment. Potted plants adorn the steps, and climbing shrubbery glows bright green in the sun's rays. Jack is on his bed reading a magazine when Miles arrives at the hotel.
There's my boy. There he is. But who's your daddy? Who is your daddy?
Oh, Jack,
oh, let me love you.
Oh,
I am so proud of you. Oh,
that's
okay.
Nice.
All right. Details. I love details.
No.
What?
Jesus, it's private.
You better tell me what happened, or I'll tie your dick in a knot.
Let's just leave it, okay?
You didn't get any, did you? You're a homo.
Right. Yep, I'm a homo, yeah. Yeah, well, just make up whatever you want, and that's what happened. Okay? Fine. Write out my gay confession, and I'll sign it. Okay? Just stop pushing me all the time. You're an infant, Jack. And this is all a big party for you, but not for
Come
me.
On. I'm sorry, man. Did you have trouble performing? Yeah.
Don't answer. Don't answer it, Jack.
Hello? Yeah. Hey, let me call you right back. Miles and I are kind of in the middle of something. No, it's nothing serious. Just having one of his freakouts. Yeah. I love you too. I'll call you back.
This whole week has gone sour. It hasn't gone the way it was supposed to. I just want to go home.
I know what you need.
In the car.
How about this one? We didn't hit this one.
Brass Canyon, that's a joke.
You ever actually been in there?
I don't have to.
I say we check it out. We're right here.
At the Brass Canyon vineyard, a jet of red wine flows from a pipe into a huge metal container. Similar containers stand nearby. Miles and Jack pull into the car park past a coach disgorging a party of wine tourists. A man strums a guitar next to an ornamental water feature in a spacious modern tasting room where dozens hover with their wine glasses and examine the trinkets, pottery, t-shirts and baseball caps on sale. The hats and the shirts are inscribed with the name of the vineyard, Brass Canyon. Jack samples the wine. Miles smells his glass.
Tastes like the back of a fucking L.A. school bus. Now, they probably didn't de-stem, hoping for some semblance of concentration. Crushed it up with leaves and mice, and then wound up with this rancid tar and turpentine mouthwash bullshit. Fucking raid.
Tastes pretty good to me. Look, they have a reserve Pinot.
Let me use your phone.
What's up?
I can't take it anymore. I gotta call Evelyn.
Okay.
Miles paces on the veranda.
Evelyn Berman, Silverman's office.
Hi, Jennifer. It's Miles again.
Oh, hi, Miles. Let me see if I can get her.
Okay.
You're in luck. I'll put you through.
Okay.
Hi, Miles.
Hi, Evelyn. It's your favorite client.
How's the trip?
It's good. It's good. You know, we're drinking some good wines, kicking back. It's very nice.
Right.
So what's happening? There's still no word, huh?
Well, actually, there is word. I spoke to Keith Gersman this morning.
Right? And?
And they're passing. Conundrum's passing. He said they really liked it. They really wanted to do it, but they just couldn't figure out how to market it. He said it was a really tough call.
Right.
I'm sorry, Miles. So, look, I don't know where that leaves us. I mean, I'm not sure how much more mileage I can get out of continuing to submit it. I think it's one of those unfortunate cases in the business right now. A fabulous book with no home. The whole industry's gotten gutless. It's not about the quality of the books anymore. It's only about the marketing.
Miles swallows pills and storms back into the tasting room, fury on his face.
Excuse me, can I get the pour down here?
Sure. There's a special on the Syrah by the case.
He swigs it.
Hit me again.
The barman reluctantly pours more wine and Miles gulps it down again.
Excuse me, could you just pour me a full glass? I'll pay for it, okay?
Sir, this is a winery, not a bar.
Just give me a full goddamn pour.
Miles slaps money down.
Excuse me. Why don't you buy a bottle and go outside?
Miles snatches a bottle and fills his glass.
What are you doing?
I told you I need a drink, so I'm gonna help myself, okay, pal? What do you think?
Put the glass down, fucker!
Wine splashes all over as they both wrestle with the glass. Miles picks up the slops bucket and pours the discarded wine down his throat, drenching himself.
How's that?
Oh, buddy. It's okay.
Get him out of here.
Thanks a lot.
It's okay. His mother just died.
Jack leads Miles away. Now they sit on a bench staring out to sea.
So you'll write another one. You've got lots of ideas,
no,
right?
No, I'm finished. I'm not a writer. I'm a middle school English teacher. Yeah, the world doesn't give a shit what I have to say. I'm unnecessary. I'm so insignificant, I can't even kill myself.
Miles, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
Come on, man, you know, Hemingway, Sexton, Plath, Wolfe. You can't kill yourself before you've even been published.
What about the guy that wrote Confederacy of Dunces? He committed suicide before he was published. Look how famous he is.
Thanks.
Just don't give up, all right? You're gonna make it.
Half my life is over, and I have nothing to show for it. Nothing. I'm a thumbprint on the window of a skyscraper. I'm a smudge of excrement on a tissue, surging out to sea with a million tons of raw sewage.
See? Right there. Just what you just said, that is beautiful. A smudge of excrement, surging out to sea.
Yeah.
I can never write that.
Neither could I, actually. I think it's Bukowski.
Jack stares with his mouth open, lost for more words of support. Back in the car, they travel along a deserted road past acres of neatly laid out vines with a backdrop of mountains. At their hotel, Stephanie sits on the balcony steps waiting, holding her crash helmet. Miles grimaces as he gets from the car, his shirt stained with red wine. Jack opens the boot and produces a big teddy bear.
Hey, baby. Look what I got for our favorite girl.
Motherfucker!
Jesus Christ!
Fucking bastard!
Stephanie, stop!
Shit. You're getting married on Saturday! What was all that shit you said to me?
Stephanie, stop!
I can explain!
You said you loved me!
I do!
I hope you die!
Stop it! Stephanie!
Go!
She rushes to her motorbike in tears after repeatedly slamming Jack with her crash helmet. He's on the ground.
Fuckface! You two!
Me?
In the car...
You fucking told Maya, didn't you?
No, I did not. It must have been Gary at the hitching post. I think we mentioned it to him the first night.
Oh, did we mention it? You mentioned it, asshole! I'm fucking hardened over here!
Keep it elevated.
Jack holds a bloodstained towel to his face. At the hospital, Miles reads Cosmopolitan as he sits in the waiting room. He pores over an article about the pleasure triggers on a man's body. He discards the glossy magazine and makes a phone call.
It's Miles. I had to call and tell you again how much I enjoyed our time together and how sorry I am that things turned out the way they did. I think you're great, Maya. Always have, from the first time that you waited on me. And while I'm at it, I guess maybe you should know that my book is not getting published. I thought this one had a chance, but I was wrong again. Once again. So, you see, I'm not really much of a writer. I am not much of anything, really.
Miles returns to the waiting room and sits with his head bowed. Jack appears in a blood-stained shirt with a big bandage over his nose. Miles pats his shoulder as they leave the emergency department.
I'm gonna have to have an operation. Maybe even a couple of them. I gotta wait for my nose to heal first, and then they break it again.
Oh, Christ. Good thing you have a voiceover career.
It's gonna fuck that up, too. Out of sewer ass. The only reason I won't is to protect Christine.
That's thoughtful.
Yeah.
Later, wearing swimming trunks, they sit in a jacuzzi.
How did Stephanie know it was on Saturday? We didn't get into that with Gary.
Huh. That's... Yeah, let me think.
You sure you didn't say anything to Maya?
Yes, I'm sure. And just what are you implying, Jack? Actually, I'm really pissed off at you about all this, if you want to know the truth. What is Maya going to think of me now, just for associating with you?
Jack glares suspiciously at Miles.
I don't know. Sure seems fishy.
Yeah.
Later, they lie on their beds watching TV.
Fight so hungry people can eat. I'll be there. Wherever there's a cop beating up a guy, I'll be there.
Jack gets up and walks to the mirror.
The way guys yell when they're mad.
What's this look like to you?
Kids laugh when they're hungry. They know suffering.
Looks like you're in a bad car accident.
Jack turns from the mirror.
Eating the stuff they raise.
I'm hungry.
A buxom waitress serves Jack and Miles with big helpings of spare ribs.
Go.
Nice.
Thanks.
your handy wipes.
Oh, so that's what those are. For a minute there, I thought you guys were promoting safe sex.
That's a good one. I'll yeah. remember that one. I'll be right back with your cornbread.
All righty.
Jack turns to watch the chubby waitress leave.
Bet you that chick's two tons of fun. You know, the grateful type.
Mm. I don't know. I wouldn't know about that.
As they tuck into their meal, she returns with a container and serves cornbread with a pair of tongs.
Mmm. Nice technique there, Cammy.
Thank you. On the wrist. You know, you look really familiar to me. Are you from around here?
Well, actually, we're from San Diego. Why?
I don't know. You just seem really familiar to me. Never mind. Enjoy your meals.
Hang on. Did you ever know Derek Summersby?
Dr. Derek Summersby from One Life to Live?
Just have to imagine him with, bandage and shorter hair.
Miles looks on with a bemused expression.
No way! No way! Oh my gosh! That's great! Oh my goodness!
Could you tell me where the bathroom is, please?
Oh yeah, it's right over there, right past the buffalo. Oh my gosh! I can't believe you're sitting at my table.
Miles walks off past the head of a stuffed buffalo on the wall and opens the door marked men. Now he presses a toothpick dispenser on a shelf next to the stuffed foot of a pig. He glances back to the restaurant and sees Jack and Cammy, the waitress, standing chatting. Jack brushes his hand across her cheek before joining Miles.
Listen, man, Cammy gets off in an hour, so I was thinking I'd just hang around, have a drink. Yeah, make sure she gets home safe.
You're joking, huh?
No.
Unfucking believable. Can't we just go back to the motel and hang out, get up early, play 9 holes of golf before we head home?
Jack puts his hand on Miles' shoulder.
Listen, man, you're my friend, and I know you care about me. And I know you disapprove, and I respect that. But there are some things that I have to do that you don't understand. And you understand literature, movies, wine, but you don't understand my plight.
It's Friday. Miles is woken up. He switches on the bedside light and stumbles to the door.
God, it's fucking freezing out there.
God, yeah.
Vicodin, where's Vicodin?
Jack has appeared stark naked. He wraps himself in a sheet as Miles goes into the bathroom.
Here.
Fucking chick's married, man.
What?
Her husband works a night shift or something, and he comes home and catches me on the floor with my cock in his wife's ass.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jack. And you walked all the way from Solvang?
I ran. Twisted my ankle, too.
That's 5 clicks, Jackson.
Fucking ain't right, it's 5 clicks. At one point, I had to cut through an ostrich farm. Those fuckers are mean.
Oh!
We gotta go back.
What?
We gotta go back. I left my wallet. Credit cards, cash, my fucking ID, everything. We gotta go back.
Big deal. It's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll call now and we'll cancel your cards.
I know, Miles. You don't understand. The wedding rings. The wedding rings are in my wallet.
Okay, fine. They're in your wallet. And you left your wallet in somewhere, some bar, okay? Christine will understand.
They had to order them special. It took her forever to find them. They've got this design of dolphins and our names engraved in Sanskrit. We gotta go back, man. Yeah. Christine will fucking crucify me, Miles.
No way.
Please. Please.
Forget it. Your wallet was stolen in some bar. It happens every day.
We gotta go back and get my wallet, Miles. I'm telling you, those rings are irreplaceable. Look, I know I fucked up, okay? I know I fucked up, but you gotta help me. You gotta help me, Miles. Please, please. I can't lose Christine, Miles. I can't lose Christine. Mm-hmm. I know I fucked up. I know I did a bad thing, all right? And I know I'm a bad person. I know I am. But you gotta help me. You have to help me, Miles. Okay? Tell me you'll help me. If I lose Christine, I am nothing. I'm nothing.
As dawn breaks, they're in the car.
Did she tell you she was married?
Yeah.
So what the fuck were you thinking?
Wasn't supposed to be back till 6. Fucker rolls in at 5.
Cutting it a little close, don't you think?
This is a block.
Sure.
Yeah.
Jack points to a bungalow with a breakdown truck parked in the drive.
That's it. Yeah. That's the one right there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A light is on outside the front door. Miles pulls up across the road.
Okay, so what's the plan?
The plan is... you go.
Me?
Because of my ankle. Still hurts. Just go explain the situation, Miles.
Explain the situation? Yes, excuse me, sir. My friend was the one bawling your wife a couple hours ago. Really sorry. He seems to have left his wallet behind. I was wondering if I could come in and just poke around. I don't know.
Yeah, just like that.
Oh, for
That's
Christ's
good.
Sake.
Oh, fuck it. I'll go. I guess I have to do everything.
No. Hold on.
Miles grips his arm and gets out of the car himself. He strolls across the road, past the front lawn where rubbish is strewn about, and past the breakdown truck to reach the front door. To his right, behind a portable barbecue, he sees a window. He peeps through and then tries the doorknob, but the door's locked. He opens the garden gate and cautiously creeps alongside the house. A pile of breeze blocks is stacked against a wooden fence, and a spade with a broken handle also leans against it. Other junk lines each side of the garden path. Glancing all around, he reaches the rear of the house, where there's more garden rubbish. He tries the French windows, and they slide open. He peeps through a gap in the blinds and then tiptoes inside. The house looks run down and untidy. Patches of fresh white paint are daubed on the fading paint of the plaster walls. The remains of a meal are on a table alongside empty beer bottles and unwashed glasses. He spies a pair of blue jeans on top of a plastic bin bag next to the shirt Jack was wearing. He feels in the pockets, but they're empty. He glances along the hallway to where the noise is coming from, and then gets down on all fours to creep towards the bedroom. He stares in disbelief as Cammy and her husband have sex on the bed. They're naked except for his bobble hat.
You think I don't fuck you, bitch? I'm fucking you now.
I'm a bad girl. Yeah,
you picked him up and you fucked him, didn't you, bitch?
Yeah, I picked him up and I fucked him. I'm a bad girl.
You liked fucking him, didn't you, you little whore?
You caught me fucking him. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You are a bad bitch.
Yeah, you caught me. Such a whore. Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're so bad. I am.
He sees Jack's wallet on the dressing table. He grabs it and runs.
You are such a whore. What the fuck?
The wallet! He's got Derek's wallet!
Jack snoozes in the car as Miles frantically gallops towards him, pursued by the naked husband.
No! Here's your wallet!
Oh, shit!
You got it!
I'm gonna kill your ass!
You got my wallet!
I will find you, man! I'll find your ass! You're mine, man!
Miles speeds away, leaving the naked bobble hat man in the middle of the road. Back at the hotel, Miles folds and packs his clothes into his suitcase. He looks down at Jack, who sleeps in bed, with the big bandage on his nose. Later, Miles is at the wheel of the red coupe as they pull out of a filling station and head past the windmill, following a sign which says, Freeway Entrance South. They cruise along the coastal road, passing a big ship on the blue ocean on their right. They stop again for fuel.
You want to let me drive?
No, it's all right. I got it.
Hey, you know, you ought to invite Maya to the wedding.
Somehow, I think inviting Maya to the wedding is not the right move at this juncture. I don't know. You know, in fact, after all of your shenanigans, it's going to be hard for me to ever go to the hitching post again.
You know, there was a nice way to respond to that. Come on, let me drive.
No, I got it. You should rest.
You know what? I feel like driving.
Okay.
Hey, put on your seatbelt, okay?
Yeah, I was just about to. What's the problem?
Just want to remind you to be safe.
Hey, what's up? What, Jack, we missed the entrance.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Jack?
Hey. Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Hang on.
What the hell are you doing, Jack?
Jack drives into a tree.
What the fuck?
You said it looked like an accident.
What the fuck?
I'll pay for it!
Jesus Christ, Jack! Oh, for cr- look at this!
I don't know. Doesn't look like anyone was injured in this one.
The bonnet won't close.
No.
Watch your head.
Yeah. Boy, you broke a couple of them, you know.
Whatever. Sorry.
No. It's not whatever, you fucking derelict.
They take the wine from the boot.
You ready?
Just get it over with.
As the car stands facing the tree, Jack jams the accelerator with a concrete block and slams the automatic gearbox into the drive position. The car takes off on its own, misses the tree, and plows through a fence beyond. It comes to rest with its nose down an embankment and the rear end in the air. The two stare at the vehicle, Jack with a look that says, I suppose that's about right. Miles just looks somber. With a twisted number plate and a mangled bonnet held down with rope, the car limps into the drive of Christine's family home. They unload three boxes of wine and Jack's baggage and place it all on the doorstep.
Okie doke. All right. Well, I guess that's about it.
You want to come inside?
No. No, you're on your own.
All right. Well, I guess I'll see you at the rehearsal.
Yep.
They give each other a hug.
I love you, man.
Yeah, back at you.
Miles, don't drive away until they see the
car. I know. Hey, wait a second. How come I wasn't hurt?
Because you're wearing your seatbelt.
The exchange smiles.
Nicely done.
Jack watches Miles get into his car before turning and knocking on the door of the house. Miles sits with the engine running. He smiles to himself as Christine's mother answers the door, sees his injuries, and shouts for her daughter. Christine looks shocked and gives Jack a hug on the doorstep. Father appears. They look towards the car. Miles gives them all a wave through the open car window. He chuckles to himself as he watches the reunion. As he continues to stare, his expression changes. He becomes serious, thoughtful, and sad. Saturday.
Ortnia Christos asvats me pokevor ortutyam asmadanis aisosi karsanyats aylam rasia zortyan surphachik amena vorokaitis sararain yev kez vayle park ishkhanutyun yebadiv ashum yev misht yev havidyanas havidenits amen.
Jack slips the wedding ring on Christine's finger and she does the same for him. The Arminian priest presses the heads of the newlyweds together, and Miles holds a crucifix above them. Jack, wearing two snowy white nose plasters, exchanges a conspiratorial glance with Miles. Miles smiles in affection for his friend. The packed church is lavishly decorated with flowers. The bride in white brocade with a veil stands with Jack facing the altar where arrays of candles flicker. Outside the stone building, a gleaming Rolls Royce waits. The guests now gather to congratulate the bride and groom. From the car park, Miles stands alone watching Jack, in his three-piece morning suit, exercising his social graces as members of Christine's well-connected family make a fuss of him. An elegant brown-haired woman and a smart grey-haired man approach from behind.
Hey, Miles.
Hi, Vicky. Well, you look beautiful.
Thanks. Mm. This is Ken Cortland, my husband.
How are you?
How are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, nice to meet you. You're a lucky guy.
Yes, I am. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just wait for you at the car. It was great meeting you, Miles.
Ken? Well, it was big of him.
Yeah, he's good that way. He's very considerate.
That's great.
So how you doing?
Since the last time we spoke, I don't know. Could be better, could be worse.
So what's happening with your book?
Universally rejected. Strike three.
Oh, Miles, that's awful. What are you gonna do?
Back to the drawing board, I guess. Or not. I don't know. So anyway, you're married. Congratulations. You look happy.
I am.
Good. Seems like everybody's getting married. Last year was all divorces. This year it's all weddings. Cyclical, I guess.
I guess.
Her car draws up. She signals to her husband that she'll be just a minute.
Well, what do you say we hit the reception? Have some champagne? Toast and noodlebeds, huh?
Not me. I'm not drinking.
You quit drinking. Really?
I'm pregnant.
I see. Yes, I see. Great. Well, congratulations again, Vicky. Boy, that's wonderful news.
See you over there, Miles?
Yeah.
She affectionately touches his arm and holds his gaze before getting into the car. Miles struggles to hold back the emotion he feels. His nostrils flare. He turns to watch the wedding guests surrounding the bride and groom. He turns again, looking thoughtful, as if he's reached a decision. He heads towards his car, breaking into a run. His battered red coupe is in a line of wedding cars. They all turn right at the main road. Miles turns left and swings onto the wide freeway. He heads out of town, past palm trees soaking up the sun, and past the city skyscrapers. Above him, a passenger plane flies low with its wheels down, heading in. He parks outside his apartment and runs up the outside steps. He rushes in, his bow tie skew-whiff around his neck. He opens a cupboard and goes down onto his hands and knees. A fast food diner. A chef cooks behind the bar as two women and a man wait. Outside, it's dusk, and through the glass walls, traffic is seen gliding past with headlights on. The tables are empty apart from two men who sit alone. One is Miles in his white shirt and black waistcoat, minus his bow tie, sitting on a plastic bench, drinking from a plastic cup and eating a burger. Under the table, he surreptitiously refills his cup from an almost empty bottle of red wine propped up beside him on the bench seat. He swirls it round in the cup before sipping it. His face looks troubled, and he winces. Now Miles is in his classroom. He sits with a faraway look as a boy reads.
The marrow of his bone, I repeated aimlessly. This at last penetrated my mind. Phineas had died from the marrow of his bone, flowing down his bloodstream to his heart. I did not cry then, or ever about Phineas. I did not cry, even when I stood, watching him being lowered into his family's straight-laced burial ground outside of Boston, I could not escape a feeling that this was my own funeral, and you do not cry in that case. Should I keep reading the next chapter, Mr. Raymond?
No. We'll pick up there Monday.
On arrival at his apartment block, Miles unlocks his mailbox on the outside wall. There's nothing in it. Carrying a satchel over his shoulder, he trudges up the steps and lets himself in. He drops his keys on a shelf of a bookcase lined with books. He goes into the kitchen, puts his satchel down, and places his jacket on the back of a chair. He checks the answer phone and opens the fridge.
One. New message.
Hello, Miles. It's Maya. Thanks for your letter. I would have called sooner, but I think I needed some time to think about everything that happened and what you wrote to me. Another reason I didn't call you sooner is because I wanted to finish your book, which I finally did last night. And I think it's really lovely, Miles. You're so good with words. And who cares if it's not getting published? There's so many beautiful and painful things about it. Did you really go through all that? It must have been awful. And the sister character, jeez, what a wreck. But I have to say that, well, I was really confused by the ending. I mean, did the father finally commit suicide or what? It's driving me crazy. Anyway, it's turned cold and rainy here lately. But I like winter. So, listen, if you ever do decide to come up here again, you should let me know. I would say stop by the restaurant, but to tell you the truth, I'm not sure how much longer I'm going to be working there. Because I'm going to graduate soon. So I'll probably want to relocate. I mean, we'll see. Anyway, like I said, I really loved your novel. Don't give up, Miles. Keep writing. I hope you're well. Bye.
Miles knocks on her door.